Share with you, those of you that have never been here before, and those of you that have been, something very spectacular. This sefer is called Shvilei Pinchas. It's a blue sefer. You'll see it around. If you see a lot of them, there's lots of different years. Every year he puts out, he keeps on putting out more. His name is Rav Pinchas Friedman. He spoke here once before. I got a picture of him in my office. He came to speak here. He's actually an American-born Belzer Chassid, Rav Pinchas Friedman. He's a chavrusa with the Belzer Rebbe. And he, aside for being a great scholar, he wrote Svarim on Shas. He also is a person that does a phenomenal job at bringing together very mystical ideas and trying to bring them into the parasha or show you from the parasha to shed light on some things that sometimes we've heard of before but don't necessarily understand or appreciate. And I want to tell you that over Ben Hazmanim we had a 9 days kailo. And at the Kohel I spoke, of the Rebbeim, was the Rebbeim Kohel, and I spoke about the idea of learning Kabbalah or these types of things, because a lot of these sources are Kabbalistic sources. They're brought down almost always from more contemporary people, for example, the Chassam Sofer, who lived in Pressburg, the Megala Amukos, who lived in Krakow. We went to the Megala Amukos. These sources are relatively recent. However, they're quoting a lot of mystical sources. Now, I'll explain to you something. There's two different types of Kabbalah. There's one type of Kabbalah, which is called Kabbalah Ma'asit. Kabbalah Ma'asit is a person who's going to come and he's going to say, oh, there's a big Ayin Hara on you, or there's a Kitrig, or, you know, I'm going to change, you give me $50,000 and I'll take care of it for you. You know, that's a Kabbalist who's using his Kabbalah in order to try to alter a person's destiny. That's dangerous. Dangerous. While you're here in this country, there's a lot of people going to say, oh my God, you go to this guy, he can read your palm, and it's amazing, it's unbelievable, and it's like spooky, and stay away. If you ask me, don't go to anybody, unless Rabbi Yaakov Hillel tells you you can go to him. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel is himself a big mekubal. He lives in Arzi Abira 46. He grew up in India, in Bombay. Next Europe trip, maybe not, but he grew up in India, but he's learned a tremendous amount of Kabbalah, and he's very close to many of the Mekubalim, but he says a lot of them out there are just fakers. Now, it could be they know a few tricks, or it could be they got lucky every once in a while. He said they used to be taxi drivers, and then they just like learned a few different things, and now all of a sudden, he says that Americans have nothing better to do with their money than throw it at a bunch of these people, so they're wasting their money. Stay away. It's worse than wasting your money, because sometimes you're getting involved in things you should not be getting involved in. So I would strongly suggest do not go to a mekubal before, unless you speak to Rabbi Yaakov Hillel and ask him. There are some mekubalim that he says are okay, some mekubalim he will say, stay away. So that is a mekubal who's actually trying to use his Kabbalah in order to alter a person's destiny. But there's another type of Kabbalah, and Rabbi Yaakov Hillel writes about this in his Sefer Tamim Tihiyah. He wrote a Sefer in English, it's called Faith or Folly. I don't know if we have it here in the Yeshiva's library. Probably we do. If not, and you want it, then I'm happy to get it. Faith or Folly, we have it. Faith or Folly from Yaakov Hillel is like, going to these Kabbalists, is that called faith or is that called folly or foolishness? And he writes that learning Kabbalah, just for the sake of learning Kabbalah, to understand the depths of Kabbalah, said that's not a problem. Now, truth be told, most people wait until they're 40 to learn Kabbalah, but not here in this yeshiva. Because you guys are great, we're going to start at the age of 17. Why not? Or 18, or however old you are. Anyway, we're not going to really get into the deep Kabbalah of the Shemos. You get into deep Kabbalah, that's when you talk about the Shemos of Hashem, the different orders of the Shem Havaya, and the different things like that, and all the other names that we're not familiar with. I'm not getting involved with that yet. We're going to start with just the simpler things, but these are deep concepts. These are things that perhaps you're not so familiar with in general, but the Shvilei Pinchas has brought it down for us, or Pinchas Friedman. I'm going to do my best to try to stay pretty loyal to the text. Now, every once in a while, I'm going to add my own little, my own little knetch, or try to give like a little bit of an explanation, but most of what I'm going to tell you on Friday, almost always, is from the Shvilei Pinchas. Almost always. I would say 90% of what we're going to say on Fridays is Shvilei Pinchas here. So if I don't say that it's from the Shvilei Pinchas, just assume it's from the Shvilei Pinchas. So here we are. This one is in Shvilei Pinchas, Tav Shin Ayin Zayin. So it's relatively recent. We go the Sfarim go all the way back to Ayin Gimel. He has earlier editions which haven't been printed in hard in this type of publishing. It's printed like a different type of, which I'm trying to get a hold of. I saw it some places, I'm trying to copy it, whatever it might be. Anyway, this one is Ayin Zayin, and it goes on the following thing. Okay? This week's parsha, we talk about Klal Yisrael going to war. So we're going to war, what happens? And the Shoyftim and Shoytrim, we have, you know, the Bidu Parsha, they come and they gather everyone together and they say, Miyish Hayore Vaharach Levav, one who is afraid and weak of heart, soft of heart. Yelech Vyoshim Labesu, go home. Vilyomis is Levav Achiv Kilvavu, and you shouldn't cause other people also to have these types of weaknesses. What is he afraid of? Someone's afraid. If you're afraid and soft of heart. So says the Gemara, Rashi brings, it's a Mishnah in Saitar, Bekiva Aymer. What is he afraid of? It's Kipshutai, Sheina Yochalamed Bekishri Amalchame. He sees arrows, he sees, here is clinking of armor, he gets all like nervous. It's like there's war, he's afraid of the war. Very simple. That's Rabbi Kiva's Pshat. Rabbi Yossi, Haglili Aymer, Hayorev Alach Alev, Shumis Yoremen Haaveiros, Shabi Yodai. He's afraid of the Aveiros in his hands. He's afraid that maybe he's not worthy, that he's done something wrong. The Gemara says, Kiman Ozlo Hadetanya Asach Ben Tfila Letfila. Says the Gemara, listen to this. This is what we're going to focus on. Someone that talks between putting on his Tfilin Shal Yad and Tfilin Shal Rosh, Aveira Hi Biyadai. That's something that you go back from Orchim Achama. The person speaks between putting on his Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Reish. That's the type of thing that because of that, he says, oops, I can't believe I did that. So I'm going back to Orchim Achama. I made a mistake at the beginning of this month. I walked over to someone like the first day of this month and like asked him a question. He was putting on his Tefillin. It was a big boo-boo. You're not supposed to talk at all. You're not even supposed to answer anyone. You're not even supposed to go like this. You know that? You're supposed to totally ignore anyone. When you're putting on your Tefillin Shel Yad, before you put on your Tefillin Shel Reish, there's like no hefsek, nothing. That's the example of someone, Rach Levav, he's faint of heart. He's afraid of the softness of his heart. There's something about his heart. It's like a lot of focus on his heart. What's he afraid of? He's afraid of his averus. For example, he spoke between putting on his Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. I spoke to Rabbi Wiener about this. There's actually some people that they have a minig, they put on Tefillin Shel Yad, and they don't even like wrap it around their arm seven times, because that's minig. They put on Tefillin Shel Yad, wrap it around once or twice just to hold it in place. Some people, right, think of their jacket, they don't close, put their sleeve or their jacket, nothing. Putting in Tefillin Shel Yad, putting in Tefillin Shel Rosh, because they don't want to have sick at all. We're not makbin necessarily. A lot of Kaisel is not makbin. Now they're makbin not to talk, we're not to do anything else, but as far as, you know, fixing your, anyway, there's an inyan of, you know, your Tefillin Shel Yad is supposed to be covered. Right, so to cover your Tefillin Shel Yad, to wrap up, this is all part of your mitzvah tefillin. So that we allow you to do. You do the seven windings. You cover your jacket. If you have a minig, some people don't. Some people leave their arm exposed. First put on Tefillin Shel Rosh and then cover it. But the point is, you're supposed to do it pronto, as fast as you can possibly do it. Okay, but why is this the example? What is this about being masik between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh? That's like the thing a person is going to be afraid of. What exactly is the importance of this in particular? So now, listen to something else that's interesting. B'nai Yisoschar, the Dinover, Reb Tzvi Elimelech, Midinov, also in Poland, he said the following thing. He said there's 12 months of the year, and there's 12 Shvatim. It's not a coincidence. He says each month in the year represents a different Shevet, different one of the Shvatim. Interestingly enough, for example, this is a classic one. Adar, the month of Adar, represents Shevet Yosef. Because Adar can split into two. Why does that have to do with Shevet Yosef? Ephraim and Menashe. Two, right? What is the Shevet of the month of Elul? Says the B'nai Yisoschar, it's the Shevet Gad. We don't know much about that Shevet. It's not like one of the Shvatim we talk about a lot, but God is the month of El, and it's actually Arizal. We've come to our first mystical source. The Arizal is brought down by Reb Tzadok HaKohen, Chodesh Elul Keneged Shevet God. So now that we're in Chodesh Elul, let's try to understand what is unique about Shevet God. What does it have to do with Chodesh Elul, the month of tshuva. So we'll start the following thing. The pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's giving brachas to all of the different shvatim, and you know Moshe Rabbeinu was obviously, he was zoning in on what's special about them. He says about Shevet Gad, he said, Ulagad Amar. There's no song about Gad yet, right? Is Binyamin? No Gad. Ulagad Amar, Baruch Marchiv Gad. Want to expanse of God. Kilavi Shachin V'toraf Zora Afkad Koid. Which means Kilavi Shachin, it's like he's like a lion. Toraf Zoraya, he, Toraf is like when a, what does a lion do? Pounce, so more, it's more than pouncing, he's actually gouging? What? Mauling, that's a good one. Mauling, what did you say? Mauling, we're going to go with mauling. Maul, he mauls, Toraf Zoraya, he mauls the arm, Afkodkoid, even the skull. What does that mean? Says Rashi, God was such an efficient assassin. He was able to cut off a person's head and a person's arm in one swoop. Just like that. Right? That's impressive. How did you put, cuts the arm and the head? Or the head and the arm? How does he do that? That's pretty amazing, right? Most people just cut off the head. Or maybe just cut off someone's arm. How did he cut off someone's arm and someone's head at once? This is Rashi. Rashi says in the pasuk. He's Taraf Zoraya, he mauls the arm, Afkodkoid, and the skull, says Rashi. He cut them both off in one swoop. Okay. What does that mean? What is the significance of that? What's that about, what's about God that God can do that? Listen to this amazing thing. The Rosh in the Halachas Ketanas Hilchas Tefillin says the Rosh, how can God do this? Says the Rosh, Sha'al Shem, Kiyum Mitzvas Tefillin V'Tikunam, Yiskayim Ba'anche Milchama, V'Toraf Zoroya Afkodkoy. Says the Rosh, people that are Machpid are not being Mesiach Das from their Tefillin Shel Yad to their Tefillin Shel Rosh. People that are careful about not separating between the two of them are going to be able to cut off the hand and the arm and the head at once. In other words, what it says over here in Rabbeinu Bechai is that God were particularly careful. They are for sure that they were also very good at military strategy. But aside from that, they were particularly careful, God, at not talking between the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. In that schus, they were able to cut off the Yad and the Rosh at once. Because they were able to keep the two of them together. They were machpid on keeping not being mafsik in their own. Therefore, they can cut the two of them off together. That was their schus. So now we understand, my friends, a little bit better, right? Why is a person who's not mafsik between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, why we say he's a person who should go to war, but if you are mafsik, be careful, because that's that extra technique that you got. Now, God is great at war. Kilavi Torav Abdam Kodkoid, that pasuk, right? Here it is. Kilavi Shochein V'Torav Zeroya Af Kodkoid. He's able to do both of them. He's awesome warrior. He's an assassin. But that's only because he has that schus of not being mafsik. So someone that doesn't have that schus, don't go to war. You don't have that advantage. Okay, but what is it about this idea of not being mafsik between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh? Let's try to understand what it is. The Gemara in Menachas says, when a person puts on his tefillin, first put on your Tefillin Shel Yad, and only afterwards put on your Tefillin Shel Rosh. Now, I want to tell you something. This is an aberration, what I'm about to tell you, aberration to the norm. Norm is as follows. We have a concept called Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvahs. You have a mitzvah in front of you, you do that mitzvah first. That could be really part of the source of Oisik B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. The first mitzvah that comes to your hand, you just do it. So let's say a person, if a person picks up his talus, so he's not supposed to put it down. You pick up your talus, you're supposed to be mekayim the mitzvah. There's actually a machloikas in the mekubalim. What happens if a person picks up his tefillin before his talus? Those of us that wear talus and tefillin. So the poskim say, so you pick up your tefillin first, what should you do? Put in your tefillin. The mekubalim api kabbalah, you shouldn't put on your tefillin unless you're wearing your talus. That's why we put our talus on top of our tefillin. Even though tefillin are more, tefillin have kedusha, talus doesn't have kedusha. But we need to touch our talus first because we're putting on a talus before our tefillin. Usually you do that, but what happens if you accidentally reach into your talus, tefillin bag and you touch your tefillin shel roish first? What would be your thought? What would you think you should do first? Put it on your tefillin shel roish first, because that's the one first one I grab. But no, this is the exception to the rule. You put down your tefillin shel roish, you must put on your tefillin shel yad first. First it's tefillin shel yad, then it's tefillin shel roish. Why? Why is this the exception where we will not? Technically, there are two mitzvahs, by the way. Why is it that we will not put on our tefillin shel roish until after we put on a tefillin shel yad? That's what the Gemara says in Menachos. So we're going to explain it as follows. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Tes says, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa Omer, Kol shiiras chetoi, koidemes lechochmasoi, chochmasoi miskayemes. If you have yiras chet, yiras shamayim, before you have chachma, then your chachma will last. You need to first have a dose of yiras shamayim before you start learning. If you have it right, then your chachma will last. If not, it's not going to last. So what does that mean? The pasuk says, "Liknois chachma v'leiv ayin." It's a pasuk in Mishlei. "Liknois chachma v'leiv ayin." You want to acquire chachma? You have no heart. Can't do that. What does it mean, leiv ayin? The Gemara says, "Oy lehem sha'iskim b'torah ve'im behem yiras shamayim." So my friends, where is Yiras Shamayim? Listen to the pasuk again. Liknois chachma v'leiv ayin. Terrible people that learn and don't have Yiras Shamayim. Where is Yiras Shamayim? In your leiv. Liknois chachma v'leiv ayin. He has no heart. That means he has no Yiras Shamayim. So I want to know, where is Yiras Shamayim? It's in your heart. That's where it is. So what we're saying is, a person needs to have yira before he has chachma. Like it says, im ein yira, ein chachma. So a person, in order to learn, needs to have yira shamayim. Perhaps that's the reason why the Torah ends with the letter lamed and begins with the letter beis. The Torah ends, la'ene kol Yisrael, lamed. Begins with the letter Beis Bereishis. What is it about the leiv? The answer is, if you really want to learn Torah, Liklois Chachma, the leiv ayin, you don't have heart, you don't have Yiras Shamayim, it's not going to go. A person needs to have his heart in the right place before, if he really wants to learn. Now, why is it backwards order? Because, aside for that, you also have to chazer and chazer, so do it again. That's where the Yiras Shamayim comes in. It gets you the Chazu, the Gemara. You're going to hafoichba, hafoichba. I'm going to do it over and over again. But we're saying a person needs to have a heart. Needs to have a heart in order to have a mind. Says the Chassam Sofer. Unbelievable. Listen to this. Chassam Sofer says, we make two brachas when we put out a tefillin. La'aniach tefillin. Al mitzvahs tefillin. La'aniach tefillin? Al mitzvahs tefillin. So if I ask you a question, if you're going to be medayik carefully, what's really the mitzvah? Tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh. Listen to the bracha. La'aniach tefillin? Al mitzvahs tefillin. Huh? You got a whole different minute. Okay, so we're going to leave Shlomo out of this conversation right now. Ignore. Anyway, tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel roish. La'aniach tefillin, al mitzvah tefillin. Says the Chassam Sofer, why are we making al mitzvah tefillin on your shel roish? La'aniach, it sounds like this is just, I'm putting this on, al mitzvah tefillin is up here. He says the following thing. You know what tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel roish are? Tefillin shel yad is really to make sure you have yiras shamayim. A person's heart, it's right by his heart. A person's heart is where all of his taivas are. And actually, the Balatanya, we have a Tanya Shiur on Sunday at 10:45 in my house. The Balatanya says that it's actually on the left side of your heart. So you put your tefillin right there, right by the left side of your heart. It's there in order to like get those taivas, get them like under control. And that's your shemayim. Once you do that, then you could get your chachma, which is your mind, your das. Lev ayin. Person doesn't have lev. So, liknois chachma. But the main thing is liknois chachma. A person wants to learn. You have to understand that tefillin shel yad is just in order to get a person to where he has to be, is just to understand his learning and to be able to have chachma, to have clarity. So therefore, a person puts on his tefillin shel yad first, makes a bracha lohaniach tefillin. I'm going to get that under control, and afterwards, tefillin shel reish. Lefi zeh, you can understand why do we put seven times we wind around on. I'll tell you why. Because the Gemara in Sukkah says that the Yetzer Hara has seven names. You know that? There's seven names for the Yetzer Hara. Seven names, the Marsha says, because the Yetzer Hara, the seven different elements of the Yetzer Hara. Every time we wind, what we're doing is we're trying to wind up that Yetzer Hara. We're trying to get control of the Yetzer Hara. Let's get it under control. That's Tefillin Shel Yad. Tefillin Shel Roish, that is when a person is supposed to understand Chachma. Now let me tell you something, okay? If a person wants to grow, so a lot of times people are trying to stay away from doing bad things. And that's very, very important. But you have to understand something. There's only so long that you can control things. You can hold it under, like, you could, like, hold things in. You will implode if you don't somehow get more Torah into your life. If you don't fill your life with Torah. If a person just is trying to, like, hold the Yetzer Hara down, and then he's mafsik, and he doesn't learn Torah, and he doesn't put on his tefillin shel roish, it's not going to happen. He's not going to do it. That's what the Yetzer Hara wants you to do. He's like, okay, you're so busy like staying away from your averus. That's great. But you have to fill the void. You're creating a void. Fill that with Torah. That's what a person is not masik to tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel roish. That is a system that's going to work. Because as a person is being careful to be misgaber on his averus, so then also he's filling his life with meaning and substance. That is his tefillin shel roish. This idea of not being masik between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel roish, this is a system that is proven to work, and a person can continue moving on his ein yira shemayim ein chachma. A person can continue moving, and then his ein chachma yira shemayim, and it moves bigger, and that's a person who is on a path for success. Therefore, we speak about here about God. God, we said, someone who is not master between tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel roish. God is someone who is able to cut through the person's arm and the person's head at one shot. God is the month of Elul. Elul is ani ledoidi v'doidi li. Ani ledoidi is, I'm going to stop doing all that other stuff. I'm with you, Hashem. V'doidi li is, and I'm going to start bringing Hashem into my life. I'm going to do both of them. That's my tefillin shel yad and my tefillin shel rosh. That's why Elul is keneged God, shevet God. What we're supposed to do now is we're supposed to try to like stop doing things that are like not being faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and start bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu more into our lives. And then we'll do that, Beis Hashem will be zeichet to be victorious in all of our melchamas, whether it's the melchamas hayetzer or any other enemies that we might have, and we'll be zeichet to see Uvalat Zion Goyal B'mehir V'yameinu. Amen.